What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
And welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. I am Josh Hadley, and with me this week, filling in for Jillian, is...
Jillian!
She's back!
Yay! Yeah,
she was off for 2 weeks while some stuff was happening, so taking Jillian is back. I'm not going to play that song.
No, I just, I sing silliness all the time. You know what? I come back and you're being so mean to me, and I just don't know what to do anymore.
So, all right, before we actually get into the topic, which at least the first one, well, they're both going to be rather serious tonight, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT to get 50% off of a single item, to get 3 free DVDs, to get free shipping in the United States, and to get a free mystery gift, all for using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. And it'll help you calm down with all the shit that's going on in this fucking country right now.
Well, like in the early centuries, I don't know which one, and I'm not going to misquote, they used to, in like insane asylums and stuff, they would vibrate the women to calm them down when they were having like psychosis attacks.
Yeah, it was called hysteria. They would basically make the women come, and then that would quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, cure hysteria.
It does for about 15 minutes, and then you're just like thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Sure you don't. All right, for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, this actually goes back. You have to remember this is prior to the Batman shooting, okay? Rush Limbaugh probably said the dumbest thing I've actually ever heard him say. And now that says a lot right there.
He says a lot of dumb things.
Right, he says a lot of dumb things. So the fact that I'm saying he said the dumbest thing really means it.
It's definitely going to go in our top 10 or whatever list of at the end of the year.
Yeah, at the end of the year, I have a feeling this one's going to make one of the at least the top 5.
The highest, yeah.
What he was saying was the villain of the new of Batman The Dark Knight Rises is named Bane.
And he sounds like Sean Connery if Sean Connery was playing Darth Vader.
Yes, I realize that. But the character is called Bane. And the character is very much an Occupy kind of cipher, Occupy movement. Rush Limbaugh made the asinine leap in logic because Mitt Romney used to run a company called Bain Capital that the villain Bane in the Batman movie is Christopher Nolan trying to take down Mitt Romney. So
not
he says
that,
this whole
he was
movie,
in fucking Batman and Robin, like a very horrible portrayal of Bane, but he was in Batman and Robin with
he was also in the comic books from 1992.
Yeah. Well, I know that. So I just meant like recently, if he didn't read comics, I'm sure he knows about Batman and Robin.
What it comes down to is really Rush,
really?
Bane is an attack on Bane Capital, this character that's existed for years.
You see, it was a preemptive attack. They'd been planning it since 1992.
Yes, because they somehow saw into the future. So, Rush Limbaugh. I mean, just, okay, if you guys think I'm making this up, just take a listen to this.
Have you heard this new movie, the Batman movie, was The Dark Knight Lights Up or something, whatever the name of it is? That's right, Dark Knight Rises, Lights Up, same thing. Do you know the name of the villain in this movie? Bane. The villain in The Dark Knight Rises is named Bane. B-A-N-E. What is the name of the venture capital firm that Romney ran and around which there's now this make-believe controversy? Bane. The movie has been in the works for a long time. The release date's been known. Summer 2012 for a long time. Do you think that it is accidental that the name of the really vicious, fire-breathing, four-eyed, whatever it is, villain in this movie is named Bane?
Oh, is that not the most asinine thing? I mean, I literally think the heat of this heat wave caused by not global warming, according to Rush, I think it's finally melted his fucking mind, or he finally got some bad Oxycontin. That's just insanity.
I don't know. Stuff he said in the past, it kind of just, you know...
Well, yeah, like the stuff about birth control pills and how
I just wouldn't doubt it.
Body works.
Like, if I hadn't heard it for myself and somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know, he said this, I'd be like, oh, geez, you and your shenanigans.
To get a little bit more serious, then...
Wait, hold on. I was going to do a plug. And if you'd like, if you don't care about spoilers and you'd like to see me and Brad's review on The Dark Knight Rises, you can go to thecinemasnob.com.
Yes, you can.
Shameless plug for the win.
No, we're going to get a little bit more serious. Now, obviously, the shootings in Aurora, Colorado were a terrible event. We're not really going to talk about the shootings, the shooter, the conspiracy theories, any of that bullshit. What I want to talk to you about, Jillian, is the bullshit that the media has stirred up about this.
The way you say it, what I want to talk to you about, Jillian, you make it sound like I know nothing about this. School me, Josh. School me so hard.
Ooh. Well, what it comes down to is, and I knew this was coming, I really didn't think it was coming this fast.
We talk about that with any kind of tragedy. I know, you know, there's been a lot, unfortunately, but that's the way the world is in the past. The murder of the video game, we were just kind of counting down. And surprisingly, as far as I know, they didn't really do what we thought they would with the whole blaming video games. And that's kind of a first in that situation. But of course, this comes along and it's...
I think the video game thing with Magnata, I think that kind of petered out because of the fact that not only was he Canadian, but he was caught in a foreign country and all the murders were committed in a foreign country. I think because no Americans were really involved in this, because the foreign media kept that one going a little bit longer than it did here. Here it was just basically a footnote story. I knew this was coming because it happened after Columbine. It happened after the Virginia Tech shooting. They always blame the media. And I knew it was coming. I didn't expect in less than 24 hours of the shootings, they were already blaming the Batman comics and violent media and video games and movies. And that's their go-to. It can't just be a fucking crazy person shot some people. It's got to be... something else made him crazy. That's the shit that pisses me off.
It's just because when something horrible happens, anybody's looking for an excuse. They look at themselves, they're like, how could somebody do this? There has to be a reason. They can't accept that there's things wrong with people and something just snaps. If you look, and I know we're not getting into the actual thing, he was very intelligent. There's video of him giving.
He was a genius.
Yeah, there's video of him giving. I mean, for those of you who've seen like Big Bang Theory, and I know you hate that show, but picture, you know, them talking about molecular crazy speeches where you understand nothing of what they're saying. And he's up there very sane, just very intelligent. And then this happens. And it's just one of those things. I mean, people snap and they look for a cause. And so they are blaming media. And when I say media, I don't mean the media that's causing this, more so just fiction, you know, movies with gun violence, video games, like you said, everything. And it's just such, I just don't understand how people can do this. I mean, this stuff has been around forever and a half. And if for the mass amounts of people that play video games, watch these movies, etc., read these books, if that were a factor, there would be much more of, you know, this breaking out. But it's because, you know, you get in trouble and you're going to blame something. It's not my fault. It's because of this. And we've talked about this in other instances before where it's just an excuse. And it's one of those things, you know, fiction has been around for eons and there's been violence. And it doesn't mean that, I mean, fucking Catcher in the Rye with them banning it and all of that crap. It's people make their own decisions. And I think as a society, everybody wants to know why. Why did this happen? And they are just the first to blame, oh, well, a gun was used. So clearly, you know, this. And it just doesn't make any rhyme or reason, the fact that it would happen at a movie showing. So they're trying to blame violent movies when it wasn't. It boggles me. I'm sorry.
Well, one of the things is a lot of people, and I've seen this defense, and this one I will call bullshit on. People said, well, this could happen and have happened at any movie. He just chose something popular. Could have happened at, you know, Madagascar 3 or whatever. I got to say no, because his comments that he made to the police when he was arrested, he told them, I am the Joker. So he was targeting Batman fans for this for whatever reason, which is what also allowed people to immediately jump on the 1986 The Dark Knight Returns, where You got to remember, the killer here, or the accused killer, sorry, we should be journalists about it. The accused killer, he had his hair frosted red. Well, in The Dark Knight Returns, a character whose hair is frosted red opens fire on a theater full of people. While I do see that, yes, there's similarities, I highly doubt he was actually going, I want to do it like the comic book did.
Yeah, it's one of those situations to where, again, people can get inspiration from fiction, but if the inkling isn't there, it's not like this person was sitting there and be like, oh my God, if someone's going to emulate something that is clearly evil, clearly wrong, they know it's wrong. You know, everybody has their, you know, whether they say it's a calling from God, God told me to do this, or, and again, I'm not saying that, you know, religious people are crazy. I'm just saying everybody has an excuse
except
for why what they're doing.
Just brought up has happened. So
I understand that, but
using
you know me with religion. I like to clarify when I'm giving an example. I'm not saying that it applies to everybody in that category. So, you know, everybody has this reasoning. Stalkers, like everybody, there's always a trigger. And so it's not like you talk about back with music. Oh, if you play the record backwards, it tells you to do this. I mean, if you're unstable,
Judas Priest one, yeah.
Yeah, if you're unstable, you're going to find some kind of inspiration, something you want to do. I mean, everything is out there. It doesn't mean something's a bad influence. Technically anything nowadays is a bad influence, whether it's, you know, a person, media, what have you, but it's fiction. It's not like, you know, you have a specific person saying, go out there and do this. There is so much out there that any crazy person would be like, I'm going to do that. And well, it doesn't and mean that it's that, you know, media's fault.
Well, and what it comes down to is when you're a crazy person like this, it could be anything that makes you snap. You saw a bad movie. You want to be the Joker, whatever. It could be the free sample of mouthwash you got is mint flavor and you wanted spearmint, and that just blah, and that makes you crack. It, when you're crazy, anything can make you crack. If the mouthwash example I just used had happened, if mouthwash is what made him go crazy, would we be banning Listerine? No, but they're trying to ban movies, violent movies. And this is not the first time it's happened. Like I said, Columbine, Virginia Tech, with natural born killers back in 1994 after a couple of kids watched that and then they killed their little brother. Because the movie was in the VCR, oh, it's got to be natural born killers' fault. Otherwise, they're normal kids. Well, back in 1991, New Jack City, that movie theater was shot up at the premiere of that by a bunch of gangbangers. In 1988, the movie theater showing the movie Colors was shot up by a bunch of gangbangers. In 1980 in Chicago, Hart Fisher of this very show was caught in a gang shootout at the premiere of Flash fucking Gordon, Jillian.
The thing is, if you're looking for mass violence, you're going to go somewhere where you know there's a lot of people, stadiums, what have you, and these people who aren't necessarily the most, I mean, obviously this was coordinated, you know, he was very prepared.
This was
for someone,
yeah.
Right. For someone who is very unstable. I mean, you look at the tower shootings where someone, you know, the gunman in the tower, they do, you know, schools, things like that. You're going to go, if you are dead set on, I want to kill a shitload of people. Obviously, if you're going to a football game, huge amounts of security, but if you're going, you're going to go to, you know, a premiere that you know is going to be packed, or you're going to go to a mall, what have you, something where security is not heightened and you know a lot of people are going to be there. It doesn't mean there's a correlation. Speaking that way, I mean, hell, we talked about a while back when we had a wild card day, we had, you know, or whatever you call it, free balling, big tits, whatever. We talked about the D&D incidents where they were blaming D&D because kids play D&D and then, you know, stuff happened. So clearly it was that. And again, it, you know, I'm going kind of roundabout in circles. People want a reason.
I see where you're
they
going.
They can't, especially parents, they can't accept that my child did this just because. They can't accept that there was something wrong with their child. There had to be a reason. And so humanity's thing is like, why? Why did this happen? And so
they overlook the obvious, like the Judas Priest case. Judas Priest made them commit suicide or attempt suicide and all that. What they completely ignore is the fact that both these kids had mental problems prior to that. And when they did it, they were both wasted on pot, coke, and Jack Daniels. Clearly the pot, the coke, the Jack Daniels, the mental problems had nothing to do with it. It was just Judas Priest that caused them to kill themselves. People want a scapegoat, not a reason. I think that's the difference, Jillian.
I mean, hell, if some crazy person went to a mall and shot up a store, say Hot Topic, for instance, and, you know, yelled Gap or just something, you know, they would start going after stuff like that with their policies and be like, oh, well, you know, it must have been they were against the occult or what have you. And they would just, I mean, there's a correlation if you dig deep enough to anything, if you're looking for a reason. Hell, even on a much lighter side, we talked about the derpy thing with My Little Pony and then how they were reading into, you know, oh, Rainbow Dash is gay because of this. And it's like, it's such an innocent thing. And yet they're reading these bad connotations into it.
But you can do anything if you try hard.
Right. And not even that, you know, Rainbow Dash being gay would be bad. It's just taking something innocent and that doesn't have any specific meaning and trying to apply to it. And obviously that's a much, much smaller scale. And it was just people trying to get upset about something and reading into it. But I'm just trying to prove my point that you can look at anything and find some kind of context if you're looking for it. And obviously action movies, things like that, they're not meant to be taken seriously. They're not trying to recruit people and they're not trying to, I mean, they're clearly fiction. You've got, you know, Bruce Willis and Die Hard diving through shit, going through, but you know, nobody's saying, oh, you should go and infiltrate a building to steal its money and then do that. I mean, it's just asinine to think, especially something like Batman, to where, I mean, you have to have protagonist and antagonist in a movie. Movies would be very, very boring if there wasn't some kind of counter to the good. Are you just going to watch
My Dinner with Andre?
I mean, hell, even kids' movies. I mean, you've got
a clearly defined bad guy. Even in,
exactly.
I mean, like the fucking Care Bears. They have a clearly defined villain.
I mean, even if you're talking about something, God, it's been for a while since I've seen, you know, family films like that. You've got something like Andre that's about a family with a seal and then they want to, you know, take the seal away from the family or this, or you've got Free Willy and all of that stuff to where it's not necessarily villains, but you've got some kind of defining force that's causing friction. So obviously those are much, much smaller scales again, but at the same time, it's, I don't know. This is just, I mean, I get it. I get that they're saying, you know, kids are learning violence, what have you, but there's violence in the real world. You know, if you're going to ban TV shows, ban the news, you know, ban coverage of the war. I mean, there's no way to shelter everybody. And at the same time, I mean, actually, I was just watching an anime and I was surprised because it's very episodic and they had an episode like this. And what happened was there was an instance of killings based on a book somebody wrote. And this is exactly what happened. There was mass media saying, you know, blaming the book and all of this. And it's just because people who are unstable, you know, they don't know what to do. I mean, there's always some kind of inspiration of something. You know, they see something and they're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. It doesn't mean that it's that trigger's fault. I feel like I'm not articulating this well.
No, I get your point. I do. I think there's also a bigger question here that the media is obviously latching on to violent media. What they're ignoring is some of the more, and by political, I don't mean Republican, Democrat, but I mean of the more political and social issues that cause things like this, such as one of the reasons that the guy supposedly snapped was he's got a doctorate in neuroscience. He's one of the smartest people on the planet, and there are no jobs for him, so he has to work at McDonald's. Nobody's looking at the economy partially being a factor in this. Nobody's looking at the fact that the NRA constantly wanting deregulation on assault weapons and body armor and armor-piercing rounds are partially responsible for this. Because, yes, I do believe in the Second Amendment. So to all of you going, oh, he wants to take our guns. No, I don't want to take your guns. But do you really need an assault weapon with a 100-round clip of armor-piercing rounds for duck hunting? No, you don't. You need that if you want to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah,
the
there's
NRA
no
keeps
reason.
Trying to get deregulation, and no one wants to talk about that. Why? Because the NRA contributes to all of the political parties. So there's, no one wants to talk about it.
There is no reason civilians need any kind of armor like that. I'm sorry. That's very tactical. There's no reason for hunting.
It's
what
made for the
you,
military and the police.
Like exactly. The thing with the NRA as well, it's one of those things where, yeah, free speech. I hate guns. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, nobody should have guns. You know, it's the cause of all evil. But I don't know. Like, even military, like, I've always been kind of like, you know what? I hate the invention of guns. Like, if you're going to go and slaughter people, have fights, whatever, have some skill to it. Like, I want the days of samurai swords and where, you know, you survive if you're skilled.
Are you the one that when playing a video game, if you have the option between shooting someone and beating them with a baseball bat, you go baseball bat on their ass?
Yes, I do. No, speaking of such, and I was just talking about this the other day. Now, oh, this is actually a prime example. Okay, Grand Theft Auto, fun little stuff. You can play the game without actually playing the game. You can go on shooting benders, what have you. Am I going to go on a shooting bender? No, because that's horrible. And secondly, people saying video games, you know, beget violence. A video game does not teach you how to shoot a real gun, whether it's, you know, an arcade game where you're using a gun. I'm sorry, completely different thing. You actually use a gun for that. But anywho, okay, in Grand Theft Auto, this little side thing, you can pick up hookers. So I pick up a hooker and I go into like the park and we bang and the car goes like, and you give her your money. So then what I do when she gets out of the car is I bludgeon her with a baseball bat to learn her a lesson and get my money back. It's what I call the lifetime lesson.
Sorry, are you keeping your hoes in line?
That's right. Am I going to go out and bludgeon hookers? No, but it's kind of fun on a video game. That's the thing. It's like you do shit in video games you wouldn't normally do. People playing Rainbow Six, if you're sane, you're not going to go and find a sniper rifle and interact it. I mean, guns exist. Military exists. So if you're saying that, oh, we can't have fictitious weapons, things like that, it's like, okay, you know, get rid of all the weapons, because by watching the news and shooting, you know, it's inciting rage against whatever, you know, is being shown. And I'm not going to go into, you know, war stuff, but at the same time, you can't keep people away from violence. You're showing it on the news.
Well, and then
shit happens and you can't prevent it.
And these arguments are so dumb. Remember after Columbine, they tried to blame Doom for the shooters? And you go, yeah, because I remember the last time I had a big fucking gun that blew up everything around me as I was fighting demons from hell. Oh, wait, no, that never actually fucking happened.
Yeah, I think I was in, oh God, what year was Columbine?
99.
Yeah, so I had just graduated high school a few years before, so it was one of those, I didn't really watch the news a whole lot. Like, I mean, obviously I knew about it, but I didn't follow the aftermath type thing.
We're gonna table this for, we'll come back with something different. We'll not be talking about the Batman shooting again unless some really big shit happens. And you'll notice we didn't really talk about it. We talked about the media fallout of it, which is, I think, something that people need to stop ignoring. People need to stop looking for a scapegoat, and they need to go, you know what? This was a crazy act caused by a fucking crazy person. Not caused by the media he might have rented.
If you're listening to a current events show, I'm sure you're keeping up on this anyway. So talking about it specifically, we're not really going to tell you anything you don't know unless it's breaking news. I will say one thing, like, I'm not a huge, like, you know, I've come out against racism. We both have several times. And there was this one thing going around about the shooting that, you know, if I was Arab, it'd be called a terrorist. If I was black, I'd be called a thug. Since I'm white, I'm, you know, mental illness. And I think there's maybe some truth to that. And I just kind of wanted to comment upon it because people jump to conclusions. And I think this whole, I mean, yeah, you're obviously something is mental wrong if you're going to go shoot up anybody. And I just think that, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to say I hate society. I really do.
Our society is fucked. So this is a bigger issue that we're going to have to deal with. And we as a society need to look at this and stop blaming the media and blame the fucking crazy person or blame the deregulation. We'll be back after a heart attack with something non-Batman related, but still something that pisses me the fuck off.
You get a goddamn job, before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
It's time for another heart attack. Hart Fisher, of course, is with me since it's heart attack. Hart Fisher's
yep,
here.
That's right, folks, and I'm going to cut Josh off. I hate to interrupt you yet again, like a big mouth asshole that I am. But guys, I just got off the fucking phone with Glenn motherfucking Danzig. And looks like I'm going to be doing some work on the Danzig Legacy special. I don't know exactly what station or where it's going to be aired, but that's the special that he did where he shot this whole, it's like the Elvis 68 comeback special, and he did it with Doyle and London from Samhain and his guys from Danzig, and they were playing Misfits songs. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. And the director of it was Mark Brooks, who's the gentleman who got me the Slayer video for American Horror. So I'm flying high on that news. And then also, last week I was talking about that crazy billionaire Alki David, wasn't I, Josh?
I already know what the big news is because you spoiled it for me, but I'm not going to spoil it on the air.
Yeah, guys, that crazy billionaire, the heir to the Coca-Cola bottling empire, has bought a TV station here in Los Angeles. And what that means is he's made a deal with DirecTV and he's made a deal with Dish Network. So we had a big meeting today to figure out putting me on that network. Alki wants to do something with me on this network. He's interested in me possibly hosting something live, and we're talking about airing some of the American Horrors programming, and this channel would be the Film On channel, and it would be on DirecTV. It'd be on all the cable networks here in Los Angeles. I'm pretty fucking excited about it.
And I've got DirecTV, so I'll get to watch it.
Yeah, guys, I mean, the American Horrors revolution just keeps rolling on, and I am so stoked, and just every day I get up, I've got more and more awesome stuff to work on, more cool people to work with. As much as I complain on this show about legislation, I'm having the good life, man.
The thing with American Horrors is, and we're not trying to turn this into an American Horrors thing, but the thing with it is, I think it has the potential to hopefully take down shit like Fearnet and Monster HD, which I don't know, is Monster HD still around? Monsters HD, does that even exist anymore?
I never saw Monsters HD. I've watched Chiller, and Chiller just flat out sucks a dick. Fearnet's got a little bit more attitude to it, but to me Fearnet is everything. They're doing the same shit as IFC, and I was watching their commercials and it was advertising all the stars. Well, you know what, motherfucker? In my world, in my horror world where I live at American Horrors, it's the man with the machete that's the star. It ain't Vinnie Jones. It ain't whoever. It's the guy with the machete. The monster is my hero. The monster is my star. And that's where those guys just don't get it. They miss it. They don't understand. And then the promos all sound like they're done for IFC. And they're even biting some of our style on the network with some of their shout. All of a sudden, they're doing these shout-outs that look suspiciously like American Horror shout-outs, right down to the hand mic with the cheap, shitty square around it. And I'm like, dudes, if you're ripping off American Horrors, I've already won. You're bankrupt. You don't have any ideas.
The other thing with Chiller and Fearnet is they're both cut channels. Who the fuck wants to watch a horror movie that's cut for TV?
And the thing is here's the weird thing, man. These censors on television differ from network to network. I'm a big fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so I watch it all the time when it's on FX. And when it's on Comedy Central, they cut out stuff. It's already on broadcast TV, guys. It's already on FX as broadcast. Why the fuck are you editing it for Comedy Central? And the stuff they cut out is weird. Like, they'll remove the word retard. Can't use the word retard. They edit out weird words, and you're like, why did they cut that out? It's pretty bizarre. And the cool thing about this Film On channel, like they told me, if I'm going to be doing this thing live, they're like, don't worry about the swearing, Hart. We've got a thing that's going to automatically bleep it out. It's just going to bleep out the swear words. They will have audio recognition software in place that'll just take it right out.
Interesting.
That's freaky, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
See,
it is pretty interesting.
When Chiller first started, I was excited as fuck for this channel.
But I wasn't too pumped because I know who was behind it.
MCA Universal. they did have some good programming. I mean, it was the first time since the 80s that you saw the 80s Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and they showed unaired episodes of like Freaky Links and other canceled shows. I'm like, very cool.
They did show Night Gallery, which I like. It's a Rod Serling horror
Unfortunately, the Night Gallery they show, same with the Twilight Zones that they show, they're the cut for syndication versions. They don't show the uncut episodes. So they are showing the Night Galleries that are cut, and half of the episodes, and I'm not bitching about the show because I like the other show, are Sixth Sense episodes. The Sixth Sense.
I don't know what Sixth Sense is. That a TV show?
Yeah, from 1972. It starred Gary Collins. He was a psychic investigator, and they were shot by a lot of the Night Gallery crew right on a lot of the Night Gallery sets. So really the episodes feel like Night Gallery episodes. So what they did
That's
is
pretty cool.
They took the Night Gallery package, which did not have enough for syndication. They cut the episodes into a half hour, and then they cut the Sixth Sense episodes from an hour to a half hour and paid Rod Serling. I don't know the exact amount, but he said a massive amount of money to shoot Night Gallery opens for the Sixth Sense episodes. So when you grew up watching Night Gallery in syndication, it seemed like Gary Collins starred in every other episode of Night Gallery, because half of those are Sixth Sense episodes.
Well, you know, I'd already heard, we're airing a TV series that came on the air before Twilight Zone called One Step Beyond. And
I wasn't
too familiar with it. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the series. And hell, I did not know that the whole show wasn't fiction. They're supernatural reenactments before we think in our modern age, we got it down with all these reenactments. And here they are doing this exact same thing, interested in the exact same subject matter we are in this day and age. We think we're so different than our parents, and it's just not true. So I've been blown away watching these episodes of One Step Beyond. I've been really surprised.
Yeah, One Step Beyond was a cool – have you seen the one with Charles Bronson as the boxer?
No. Is that in the second – because right now we're just airing the first season. I'm a weird guy. Like for American Horrors, I want to kind of air them
in
order. The way they came on. Like we're running the first season, and then I'm going to run the second season, and then I will run the third season because I don't like when they mix them.
Yeah, I don't remember what season it is, but yeah, Charles Bronson's like a spectral boxer. It's kind of interesting. It's a really early Bronson. It might even be before he was on the Westerns. It might be one of his really, really early roles. I don't even think he has the mustache.
I'll tell you, for our listeners,
it makes him look weird, by the way.
For our listeners at home, you know, if you want to contact us, I'm all ears. I'm looking for content to put on American Horrors, and I'm trying to find really cool old horror TV series that we could get access to. I don't care if it's a big name or not. I'm just looking for something really cool. So if there's fans out there listening and you've got this favorite TV show, and don't write in about Fox's Werewolf with Chuck Connors, because I fucking want that one too.
You're already working
but
on Werewolf.
I'm looking for stuff. Yeah, I'm already working on Werewolf, guys. So try to come up with something from the 50s and 60s that I should be chasing down.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks, I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
So that'll wrap it up for another Heart Attack. And yes, it's a little bit lighter this time. I mean, Hart and I had a lot of anger last week, so we figured we'd go for a light one. We'll see what next week holds, huh, Hart?
Oh, I had an absolutely punishing night at GoCore and Gene LaBelle's Hyastan Academy on Monday, so I worked out a lot of fucking aggression.
Somebody asked me the other day, is Hart really like that in real life? You know what I actually emailed them back?
Hart's like what?
Hart's a teddy bear, as aggressive as you are on the air. And I said, Hart's a teddy bear.
Let me tell you guys something, all right? I run around with a lot of dangerous people. I'm friends with cops, snipers, veterans. I've dealt with killers. I've dealt with gangsters. I've dealt with mob people. Let me tell you something about dangerous people. A lot of them are a lot of fun, actually. A lot of them are a lot of fun because they get their aggression out in a different way, and they live by a different set of rules. The idea is, if you do go there, I'm going to fuck you up. And there's a respect there. You know, these people get on the internet and they talk all their shit, and they don't have to pay for it. They're like women. You know, women in our society are treated differently. So they can pop off in public and not worry about getting laid out on the table. Whereas a man, you say the wrong thing to a dude about his wife, you're going to get laid out. You're going to get laid out. And
absolutely,
that's the difference between men and women right there. And that's a different psychology. And so in life, yeah, I'm a lot of fun, unless you push me the wrong fucking way.
Yeah, basically you don't want to make an enemy out of Hart.
No, no. I'm a wonderful friend and a horrible, horrible enemy. And I prefer to be friends. I'm a big, happy, wonderful, frisky lion. And on that note, I'll see you next week.
Tucker, the president's on line one calling about, is everything okay with the alien spacecraft and Planet 10, or should he just go ahead and destroy Russia?
Tell him yes on one and no on two.
Which was yes, destroy Russia or number two?
All right, so Jillian, you sent me a story that really pisses me off, and it shows one of the glaring holes in our legal system, especially when it comes to sexual assault. You want to give a little bit of detail on this one, or you want me to give the
I can do it. I came across this article by happenstance when I was looking up some other things, and online news, they'll have stuff on the side, and it caught my eye, and so I went into it, and I was just really disgusted. It's the type of thing, honestly, that they make Lifetime movies and true story things about, and this happened recently. In Louisville, Kentucky, a 17-year-old girl was sexually assaulted by two people she knew when she had passed out, you know, after drinking at a party. She shouldn't have been drinking, but still that point is moot.
That does not excuse sexual assault.
Exactly. But before I just, you know, wanted to say before everybody's like, oh, well, she should have been drinking. I mean, that's a big staple. I've heard that from people before where it's like, oh, if you put yourself in that situation, well, they were underage. It doesn't matter. So she passed out and learned, you know, a few months later, pictures of the assault were actually taken, and kids are stupid. They shared it. And that's how she found out. The attorneys ended up doing a plea bargain, and she did not even know this was going on until I believe it was like minutes before it happened. And so essentially what happened was, because of this, she can't talk about what the sentence was, but essentially it was a slap on the wrist. Part of the plea bargain was she was not allowed to name the attackers, talk about it to anybody. She's actually facing a possible sentence of 180 days in jail and a $500 fine because she released the names.
Yeah, specifically for contempt of court.
Exactly. And I don't understand how this happens. I mean, you know, with all of the media and shit that happens, if someone doesn't agree to something, I mean, because you hear about, oh, settlements, and you have to sign your name saying you won't talk about it because you receive money. In this situation,
that's civil, though. Criminal.
I know. But what I'm saying, in this situation, I don't understand how it can be hush hush. I guess because it's an underage thing.
Because both the perpetrators and the victim are minors. That's how the DA is cloaking himself in this. Because as I read on this article, It started reminding me of one of the problems that our legal system currently has, especially when it comes to not just sexual assault, but any kind of criminal matter. The victim has no say in what happens. The DA decides, hey, I think because this guy brutally beat your grandmother to death for $70 out of her purse, because I'm having a bad week, I'm just going to plead it out to 3 years. The victim or the survivor, you have no say in what the DA does. The DA is just looking for a fucking cheap and easy way to get out of it. Do you realize over 70% of court cases are settled with plea deals and not verdicts nowadays? No one wants to go to court. The DAs don't have the budget or the time. And this is just another reason. I mean, even the girl herself has no fucking say in this. That pisses me off.
I think in order for a plea bargain to go through, I really think, and this will never happen, I think that the plaintiff should have a say in whether the plea bargain should even be offered. Because they're the one, I mean, if it's against, you know, the people of the city, what have you, if the victim is not pressing charges, then fine, that's up to them. If you've decided not to press charges, yeah, you gave away your right and say. If you're not pressing charges, you know, that's neither here nor there. But if you are pressing charges against somebody, you know, I was sexually assaulted, I'm taking these guys to court, the decision of whether they get a plea deal should be up to you. And then if you agree to that and, you know, sign away and say, okay, well, yeah, let's just send them to jail, I don't want the risk of them going free, then fine, you know, you've agreed to that, then whatever stipulations are set should be set. But she had absolutely no say in this. And she went straight to the media. She released, now it's saying that she leaked who attacked her. Did I just miss it, or did she actually go to the media, or did she just tell people and it got about and she's getting in trouble?
She tweeted it.
Okay.
So someone in the media picked up on it and noticed it. But I want to say something before you go on, because it's something about you just said, and I'm going to get lost if I don't. There are two reasons a plea deal is usually reached. One, the prosecutor is lazy and just wants this case to go away. Two is they usually plea something like this if they don't think they have a strong enough case otherwise, usually. Now, from what this article shows us, right, there is no doubt these kids did it. So I don't understand why the DA would have gone for a plea deal in the first place, because it seems like he had a relatively strong case. The part that pisses me off more than anything else, do you know who asked for the contempt of court? The boys. They were mad that she outed them. They fucking rape her at a party, spread photos of it around, and she's the one fucking going to jail because they don't want their names known for this? Fuck them!
Yeah, because don't they have to register on, like, a sex offenders list, or is that only if that's part of the bargain? Because I know
part of the plea bargain, usually with a minor, part of the plea bargain might be that their records are expunged when they hit 18, so they may or may not have to register as sex offenders. The article does not go into the details of the plea, so that could be in the plea bargain that they don't have to do that.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I wonder, and you probably know more about this than I, if she had, you know, I mean, they obviously can't say, don't tell your parents, don't tell so-and-so. So if somebody else had leaked it, would they be getting in trouble, or would she be getting in trouble?
If she gave the information to, say, her parents, her friend, her cousin, then yes, she still would have she would have de facto violated the confidentiality agreement that she never wanted in the first fucking place.
You can't fucking say, oh, well, this happened to you, but don't tell anybody. And if they tell anybody, you're going to get in trouble. That's like, oh my God, like, okay, what if you have a significant other? So you can't tell your significant other that you got raped by his two friends or what have you, because she knew these people. This wasn't just some random attack and she found out his name. Not that it makes it excusable, but the fact of the matter is, you know, I mean, let's say your best friends, oh, I'm dating so-and-so. Oh, well, he raped me at a party, so you might want to be careful.
Right.
You know, girl goes and tweets it and you're fucked. Exactly. Like, this just is insane. And I don't understand how anybody can look at this and say that that's law. And there was even a media law specialist, and he's quoted as saying, well, she should have, you know, petitioned to nullify the gag order instead of just breaking it. Fuck you. You cannot tell somebody that was wronged like that. You can't talk to it about anybody. I would go insane if I couldn't talk to anybody about something like that that happened. I mean, fuck, there's, you know, trite shit that you look at, but it's important to you. But obviously in the big scheme of things, it's really not. Yeah. There could be much worse, but it's one of those things. As people, we're social creatures, and if something is really wrong or really bothering you, and obviously this is a huge scale than day-to-day stuff, a lot of times you don't feel better until you can talk it out with somebody. And I don't know of anybody that could keep something like that in. And there's cases of people that don't tell anybody. Their parents don't know, and then they come out, but they're fucked up. They go to therapy because they never told anybody.
With it being a minor, there are certain shields in place that would have protected her had she not tweeted it, such as obviously she would have been able to tell her parents because the parental shield would have protected that. Now, if they blabbed, that would have been different. Or if she had not been a minor, she would not have been able to tell a boyfriend. She would have been able to tell a husband because then the marital shield would come in. But if she's just like dating somebody, no.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. If that person breaks it, you're still held accountable. So if you tell mom and mom tweets it or mom does something, you know, you can't control what other people do. So in essence, they're saying, don't tell anybody. If you do, this might happen to you. And that's bullshit. And I'm sorry if, you know, I was 16, 17, what have you. I got raped by somebody that I knew and my friends started going out with them because you didn't tell anybody. Bullshit. They were fucking showing pictures of the assault to people. That right there. Okay, I think people know about it. Fuck you.
And see, the two boys here, they want this kept quiet so bad because the girl, Dietrich, her attorneys want her contempt hearing in open court, arguing that she has, and I agree with this, a First Amendment right to speak about her case into a public hearing. Mm-hmm. The boys are saying through their attorneys, no, you have to keep the hearing closed. I'm saying, guys, it's already out there. People know your name. You can fight this all you want. You're already fucked.
I think they don't want like the national media attention or what have you, because I'm sure there would be reporters and things there. At the same time, though, what I'm wondering is she was shown these pictures. So obviously someone she knows, you know, she came across them somehow. So I don't understand how you can have a gag order on something like that, because if other people are talking about it, like, hey, I got a picture from so-and-so, that doesn't trace back to you. You know, that they opened the door. I understand that. I'm saying rights aside, you know, like,
no, I'm saying she's got a great quote here. Let me read it.
Sure.
They got off very easy and they tell me to be quiet, just silencing me at my end. They said I can't talk about it or I'll be locked up. Protecting rapists is more important than getting justice for the victim in Louisville. You know what? I agree with her statement there. The fucking rapists in this case have more rights than the fucking victim does. This is sickening to me, Jillian.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, a lot of cases go like that. And a lot of girls don't even want to come forward and prosecute just because they don't want to deal with it. And they're pretty aware that not much is going to come to it. So you've got a victim that already went through something really traumatic, and then you're putting them through reliving it, essentially watching them possibly walk or getting a slap on the wrist. And to me, that's worse. Like if I went through all that,
she's standing up really good. She's got another quote. She's got another quote that I'm championing this one. I love her for this. I'm at the point that if I have to go to jail for my rights, I will do it. And I say good for her. Maybe some fucking change will actually happen because she is bringing a ton of media attention to this.
Yeah, even in the article, I mean, they will not release the names. But to me,
yeah, they just keep saying the boy.
Yeah. How can you put a gag order on something? I mean, you know, obviously violation, this is horrible, but just for their reasoning, how can you put a gag order on something when the guys open the door by showing pictures to people? Because there's other people that know about it. So you can't really trace it back to, I mean, obviously she tweeted it, but word of mouth type thing. Anybody
knows. Everyone knows who these little fuckers are.
So, I mean, anybody could have done that, and you can't say, oh, well, this is your fault. Well, they were fucking showing pictures to people. I don't understand the grounds and the reasoning to be like gag order when you were showing pictures of you, you know, attacking someone. Exactly. I mean, that's just sick on another level. And I mean, they got guilty on first degree sexual abuse and misdemeanor voyeurism because of, you know, the pictures. But I'm sure even though there was that conviction, they, you know, plead it down to something insanely low. So
I highly doubt they're going to spend a day in jail or juvie. Sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, even then someone can get sentenced to, you know, 5 years for something horrible that is, you know, a travesty in itself, but with good behavior, they can get out in a couple months, if that. Yeah. So
But basically, what it comes down to is, this is fucked, and I want especially anyone in Louisville to let us know how this case turns out, or whether Dietrich has to go to jail for standing up for her fucking rights after being fucking assaulted. So on a somewhat lighter note, where can we find Jillian?
You can find me on Twitter under my name, and you can find me at thecinemasnob.com, and I am also on Facebook.
You can also find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond at gmail.com, my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com, and my monthly column, The Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine, if you happen to be in the Green Bay area. Anything you want to say before we say goodnight?
Meh, society's fucked up.
You know, sometimes I sit at home, you know, and I watch TV. And I wonder what it would be like to live someplace like, you know, The Cosby Show, Ozzie and Harriet. You know, where cops come and got your cat out of the tree. All your friends died of old age. But you see, I live in South Central Los Angeles. And unfortunately, shit ain't like that! It's real fucked up! Goddamn, what a brother gotta do to get a message through to the red, white, and blue! What I gotta die before you realize I was a brother with open. Kids killed in gang warfare in my bad.